You are listening to Talking Images, the official podcast of ICMForum.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Chris, and I almost feel like I should issue a bit of a warning here, because there is a genuine risk someone in this episode will insult your biggest darlings, the comedies closest to our hearts. Anyone who has ever heard the phrase, comedy is the hardest to translate, may suspect our conclusion already. But is it more about translation itself, or could it be cultural? Are certain types of comedies just too different? Are our cultural cues, the way we communicate, and just what makes her laugh too different that some things just will not work if shown on the opposite side of the world, or maybe just across the border? I think Turkish, Russian, possibly even Indian listeners in particular should just brace themselves here, as I can't see any scenario where Turkish favorite comedy franchise Habibem Sanifi or Russia's beloved Shriek films or just Russian comics in general just will not be shredded. I know my co-hosts well enough to know that there are some really strong opinions on these. I think maybe even Indian comedies may become heavy targets here. So just prepare for some potentially acidic hatred, because yes, that's the response a beloved local classic can face if it does not hit the mark. Rather than having you just rolling on the floor with laughter, they can feel like genuine hair-pulling torture. Is that because comedy just isn't universal? Or are there something else going on here? Perhaps just different tastes? Or maybe just all of my fellow hosts here and myself, for that matter, just terrible snobs. And when we're talking about, you know, opening cans of worms here, we'll also explore how we feel about IMDb literally coming down against Turkish comedies, invalidating the ratings of the first Habibem Sanifi film, a film that at the time had a rating of around 9 out of 10, and just to remove it from their top 250. Yes, that's something that actually happened. I know there's a risk some of our listeners will not quite be happy with us here. It may be one of our more controversial episodes, but just stay with us for the ride, because I'm sure things will get heated, especially as we dive into the term mafia film, which is a terminology that's been used quite a lot at the ICM forum, referring to, shall we say, a film that is mainly seen and pushed by a specific niche and just will not be liked that much by other people. And that's the accusation a lot of these Turkish, Russian, and even Indian comedies. There's a lot to get into here. Again, this episode may just get a little offensive, and let's just see how badly we'll do today. But with that, it's time to introduce my three absolutely wonderful co-hosts, Adam, Saul, and Lauren. And I think I might know the conclusion already, but I think it's worth to check. Do any of you actually think comedy is universal?
Hi, it's Saul from Australia. I actually am somebody who does believe that comedy is universal. And I suggested this topic, this is going back months ago, I think maybe even a couple of years ago I suggested it, because I was actually having an argument with Adam and Lauren about this. So I do believe that comedy is universal, and I guess we might get around to why that is a bit later in the podcast.
Oh, wow. All right, Salty. Actually, I have someone who believes that comedy is universal. That's good. It would be a very one-sided episode if that was the case. But I really didn't think it would happen. But maybe I'll be surprised by Adam and Lauren's responses, too. What about you, Adam? Do you think comedy is universal?
Hi, it's Adam from Scotland. And I would say... Sorry, I have no idea what the answer is. I guess... Any comedy from any country can be enjoyed by anyone, technically. But I think there's a lot of comedies that only really work if you understand the culture. I think it's universal to an extent, but I think it's massively affected by where you're from and where you've grown up.
All right, so a more nuanced response from Adam. So let's see. We'll be diving into a little bit later. What is universal? Maybe it's just fart jokes, for instance. What are you, Lauren? Is comedy universal to you?
Well, I think some humor is universal, but I don't know about comedy films. Especially even, I've been reading a lot of older literature, and even like some of the slang is different. Like it's English literature, but it's just, you know, 100, 200 years old. And sometimes it's so hard to understand what the comedy is just because I don't understand their use of language. And so it makes sense that even, you know, it wouldn't be translated from country to country or culture to culture. Even if English language humor is hard to translate over time. So I don't think it's totally universal.
Someone else got the nuance there. That's good. We're on the cusp of being very mellow and very reasonable. And I guess I have to join that train as well then and say that some humor might be universal or have universal appeal just regardless of humor. But a lot of films, especially films that have hit a very strong local chord, will struggle abroad or if transported to very different cultures. And I would say that a lot of countries have very different senses of humor, how they express themselves, how they make each other laugh, and just even what they think is okay. So with that, and given how nuanced you were, I mean, my next question were if we were all just sourpusses. It doesn't sound like we're that sour, which is very good. But I would be interested in knowing like how you guys just feel about comedy in general before we dive into everything else. For instance, are you someone who laughs easily? And is comedy one of your favorite genres?
I do laugh quite easily. I think more than I'd like to, especially when I'm watching a comedy film in the theatre. I sometimes get embarrassed by how much I'm laughing. I'm thinking of the French film Bye Bye Morons. When I was watching that, there were some parts in there where I just kept laughing for minutes on end after the scene ended, and it was quite embarrassing because nobody else was laughing and I was still just going on laughing. So yeah, I laugh quite easily, and yeah, comedy is one of my favourite genres. It's one of those ones where it's sort of like if I see a film's a comedy, I'm more interested in checking it out because even though I do believe comedy is universal, it's also something that I find is very, I wouldn't say hard to get right, but it's something which is, I guess, quite rewarding to experience when it is done well because getting a film to laugh, make you laugh, is just one of those, you know, things that, you know, just like an uncontrollable sensation, the film is sort of getting in you. You know, it's different from going like, oh, you know, I think this looks like cute or romantic or enjoyable or whatever. Actually having a laugh during a film, it's like prompting that bodily response. To me, that's one of the best things a film can do.
All right. One comedy lover has announced himself. What about you, Adam?
Well, I mean, when it comes to TV, a lot of my favorite programs are sitcoms. When it comes to films and comedies, I'm pretty picky, so it's quite difficult for me to find films easily that make me laugh out loud. You know, some of my favorite films are comedies, but to actually find one I really like is pretty difficult, and I'm not likely to be someone going to the cinema laughing like so, you know. So if I find a comedy I like, it's done really well, because sometimes I like a comedy, but for me to actually be laughing out loud the whole way through is pretty rare.
All right. Someone has a hard time to laugh here. What about you, Lauren?
I don't laugh very easily, but I still enjoy a lot of comedies, just not for their ability to make me laugh. I don't even know if I've ever laughed in a cinema. Actually, I have a couple times. A lot of my favorite films are comedies, but a lot of them are also films that I saw when I was quite young. So, like, these days, it's a lot harder for a film to make me laugh, even something that I liked when I was younger. But, unlike Soul, if I see a film listed as a comedy, I'm more likely to avoid it as much as possible, especially if it's not in English language.
I just thought I'd jump in and clarify that I rarely actually sit through a film and laugh the whole way through. I'm just imagining, you know, Adam having this mental picture of me now going down to the cinema and just laughing my head off for like 90 minutes nonstop. Now, it's not so much that. It's just that if it is a good comedy, I will have a few laugh-out-loud chuckles during the film to the point where I'm aware of it, but, you know, can't control it. But then I guess I sort of like that also. If the film has that much effect on me that I can't control my mirth coming out loud, I think it's a pretty great thing.
And I guess I can answer my question by saying that I am someone who can laugh very easily and even obnoxiously. So I know my wife, especially when watching sitcoms, will just look at me quite frustrated. That is how easily and often I get, shall we say, vocal. And I also surprised myself a little bit because I went into my list of favorite films, and the second most common category there is actually comedy. I didn't think that would be the case. Drama is miles ahead, but then again, drama is a go-to for almost everything, regardless of type, on IMDb. So yeah, surprised by that. Apparently comedy is one of my favorite genres.
I might just point out, Chris, that comedy is the second most represented genre on IMDb after drama, so it sort of only makes sense that comedy would have a big representation in anybody's favorite films.
Except maybe Lorne.
I just checked and I have, in my top 1,000, I have 286 comedies, but it's the fourth most popular genre.
All right. Yeah, I actually have less comedies than you, but it's my second, so interesting. But then again, I don't have a full top 1,000. I have about 920 films currently. So yeah, all right. So we're all comedy aligned to an extent, including Lauren. What a shocker, given her previous voice of trying to avoid them. But with that, and again, just before we dive into universality, let's just look really quickly at taste. What kind of comedies is it that tends to attract you?
I quite like all sorts of comedies, but I guess I particularly like slapstick comedy. I know that sounds like a childish answer, but slapstick, when it's done well, and it's got like the stunts in there, especially silent comedies, those really impress me when they're done well. I do like a lot of physical humor, so a lot of things based on character reactions and different situations really get me going. I'd say the only sort of comedy that I don't really like is fart jokes. I find them very cheap and very obvious, but otherwise, generally, I'm pretty open to all sorts of comedy. And like I said before, find something's tagged as a comedy, I go, awesome, that's probably going to be pretty good. Like when I'm searching out horror films to watch for the October Challenge each year, and I'm getting through 100 films or whatever, make, 60 or 70% of those comedies, just because I can guarantee that I'm probably going to have a good ride. Whereas I guess more serious horror films, I don't know, this is getting a bit off topic, take themselves sometimes a little bit too seriously. So if I know there's some comedy in there, I know it's probably going to be a pretty good ride, and it can be quite interesting without the filmmakers getting a little bit too serious, which does sometimes happen with films that aren't comedies.
Yeah, well, my answer would definitely not be the same as Soul, because in general, if a film says slapstick, then I'm not going to like it. In general, I don't like immature kind of stupid comedies, like a lot of the American comedies. You know, the whole group of like Vince Vaughn and all that lot. Dodgeball and all that crap, like, it just, I can't be bothered with like stupid humor. I tend to like comedies that are kind of more grounded in reality and a little bit more serious, but are also, they also have humor in them. So I can kind of believe the story. I can believe it as a film. I don't really turn it on. I don't turn a comedy on normally, just looking for stupid jokes, basically. And so I'm not saying that's exactly what you want before you feel like you need to clarify. But yeah, slapstick makes me feel like, ugh.
The only thing which I might want to just clarify, Adam, is when you're talking about not liking slapstick, are you talking about modern slapstick or are you talking about the big classics like Chaplin, Lloyd, Keaton? Do you not like those films also?
No, I mean, I'm talking about the modern ones because I think the older films had to rely a lot more on slapstick and physical comedy. So I like some of the Chaplin films and Keaton and all that lot. But yeah, I'm talking about more recent films.
So yeah, I'm also a hater of slapstick, the modern and the classic. Some of the old silent stuff, like sometimes the stunts are nice, but the humour is just annoying. Like it's stuff for kids. Like I hate, yeah, it's just like someone falls over a banana peel or gets hit in the face with a rake or those kinds of things. I just can't bother. I tend to prefer humour that's like dialogue-based. So I tend to prefer British comedy, and I don't mind visual gags, but I just don't like the slapstick physical comedy. And I'm also not a fan of the teen American humor stuff, although I don't mind some of them. Like, I like silly comedies if they're not stupid silly. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense at some point. I don't hate slapstick the same way you guys do. But yeah, it's mainly older slapstick I'm drawn to, and like you said, there's people slipping on banana peels that aren't necessarily that funny with the older ones. It's like a lot of the setup that's done really, really well, and it's mainly silence. I think for me, it's a bit split. I tend to be really drawn to black comedies and just absurdist comedies like Bertrand Blier, for instance, or Roy Anderson. But at the same time, I would say that the films that make me laugh the most are probably screwball comedies like His Girl Friday, Preston Sturges. I think Saul will probably will probably disagree with me on that one. But yeah, it's different. So I would say that my favorite comedies are often very dark comedies, but the ones that make me laugh the most are usually like screwball comedies. And like you guys, I'm not a big fan of films that are too silly with joke upon joke upon joke upon joke non-stop. That's usually not what I'm looking for. But with that then, I think we may actually be heading into the universal thing here, because right now we know that Adam and Lauren, they lean more about dialogue. I understand it completely, by the way, in terms of British comedies. I definitely love Monty Python, etc. as well. And Saul loves his slapstick. But I noticed something here when we talked about comedies and what comedies we are drawn to. Almost all of the examples, maybe I missed some of you guys' examples. But almost all of your examples were from the US or from the UK. And there weren't a lot of references to, you know, the rest of Europe or Asia. Even Australia didn't get mentioned. We had two Australians on here in this episode. Do you think that the fact that US and UK comedies just have like this kind of almost universality that they have, where they tend to become hits across the world, do you think that's just an effect of US and UK culture being spread as just far and wide as it has become, and essentially just raining us all to be familiar with their culture?
I think US and UK films are just more readily available, especially in English language speaking countries, like three out of the four of us come from. So I think it's more to do with that. And the examples that we came up with were probably more to do with that, because not just comedies, but films in general, there's much more distribution of UK and US films in Australia and in the UK. I'm not sure about Norway and Malta, it might be different there, but I think it's just a distribution thing. I don't think it's different for any genre. I think all comedy is universal. I think people think about the US and the UK ones because they're the best known ones. But no, I'd say all comedy is universal, not just the American stuff. But I'd say if we had more people out there going and seeing Three Idiots and films like that, well, you know, I'd say a sort of response as the popular American comedies would do. I don't think they're any better or any worse. I think it's just a matter that people haven't seen them because America and the UK stuff is what is getting distributed more readily. And I just want to mention on the other point that I did actually mention Bye Bye Morons as the film that was making me laugh out loud uncontrollably. So it's not just US and UK films that we're mentioning as examples.
Well, I don't really think that US or UK comedies are more universal. I just think that they're more well-known. I actually kind of agree with Saul. I think if other comedies from other countries were more well-seen and promoted, you'd get more people that like them. I think that, say, American culture in particular is much more prominent in the world now, whereas the culture of other countries may not be. So more of the humor probably gets lost in translation in a country that where the culture isn't as prominent throughout the world. I mean, I don't think it's just a case of English language versus foreign language. I think American culture obviously is incredibly well known, British culture to some extent, but then at the same time, there's some Scottish comedies that I don't think would translate because without being Scottish or without living here, it's sometimes hard to understand. So I think it's just a case that American culture is so dominant that more people understand American humor, whereas some of the other comedies from like Turkey or India or whatever, sometimes some of their cultural references won't really be understood as well.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I can't think of that many Scottish comedies I loved off the top of my head. I mean, even films like Local Hero, etc., didn't fully work for me. So I guess I can shoot some shots there. But so you think that if, for instance, people are more familiar with Turkey, Hababam's Nifi would suddenly become one of the most respected films in the world?
I mean, that's an incredibly large leap from what I said to what your conclusion was. But if the Turkish films and the Turkish actors and actresses were massive stars and everyone was, the media was going on about how they're the greatest films ever, and I don't know, I think it changes the perception a little bit for some people. But you've got to remember the Hababam films, the production quality is atrocious. It looks like it was shot on like a home video thing, you know, like an old camcorder or whatever you called them. So I'm just saying, I think there's elements of the Hababam films that aren't that different from some of the popular American comedies that I also hate. So I think the Turkish ones stand out more because the quality of the film is just atrocious. But you get a lot of American comedies where you get guys who are like 40 years old and they're supposed to be like teenagers. You know, you get, I don't think it's that dissimilar, Hababam, to some of the American comedies I hate. In all honesty, it's just that the production quality is so bad that it brings it down. And yeah, I don't know. I think there's similarities. They were just, the Hababam ones in particular just seemed even more immature than the American ones that I hate. Like, it took it to another level.
I think it might also be the ratings here, because with the Turkish films, these films were all around, right around 9 out of 10 on IMDb, or close. And like, if you look at like silly comedies from the US that are very popular with regular audiences, that's usually not the case. Like, you're not going to get, you know, Bob Hope comedies with 9 out of 10. You're not going to get even Naked Gun. Like, they don't have ratings anywhere near that close, even though, you know, they're huge local classics and have success overseas as well. So I think there's also the fact that, you know, your anticipation, the way you're viewing these films, like how Nifi is both a popular audiences and critics generally considered like absolute classics of Turkish cinema, and it's, you come in with slightly different expectations.
Yeah, I think if Hababam had been on like a 5.2 and we watched it, we'd maybe be less vocal in our opinions, although we wouldn't have watched it if it had a low rating. I guess I want to quickly tell the story, my favorite Hababam story. When I used to work in a shop years ago, and whenever people came in, I used to ask where they were from, and there was a guy from Turkey, and I just mentioned Hababam Sanifi, and he instantly stopped and shook my hand and gave me £10. So I think that it's kind of treated like it's some kind of cult or something in Turkey, I think. I've mentioned it to a couple of Turkish people. I mean, there was also when we were on a holiday with Jonas. Yeah, he insulted a Turkish girl by mentioning Hababam, and she was very, very angry. So I think it's kind of treated like sacred or something, the Hababam series. Maybe in a way that some... I don't know if you get that to the same extent with English language comedies, but probably a little bit with some of the biggest ones. Some people might get that offended if you said you didn't like them.
I don't have too much more to add. I think they pretty much covered the US and UK thing, but I have noticed recently a lot more people liking like Asian comedies, especially Chinese and Korean. Even people that I meet like in real life who just watch Netflix. So I don't know if they're trying to push those kinds of films on people. I'm not really sure. But it does seem like if people are more familiar with the culture, they're more likely to enjoy their comedies as well. And someone was speaking about like American movies, American 80s comedies. And sometimes I struggle with them because they make references to famous figures or events that have happened that I don't know about. And even that, just loses me. And even some modern ones, they make all these pop culture references and I don't pay attention to any of it. So I'm not really sure what the joke is. And I get really confused. And so if you take that to another country or another culture where you don't know any of the famous people or events that have gone on, it's really hard to understand what the joke is.
And I think even with America, there are films that are held in far higher esteem in the US than they are abroad, like A Christmas Story, for instance. I've yet to meet any European who, you know, loves A Christmas Story anywhere near as much as Americans do.
I think Lauren liked it quite a lot. I know she's not European, but she's not American.
No, I'm pretty sure that was you that added it to the top of your favourites list.
I mean, with this style of humour from both of us, it's a wonder why we don't love every comedy out there.
So do any of us love A Christmas Story? Anyone?
No, I mean, I don't understand how it's popular at all.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I don't love A Christmas Story, but I do actually really like the other film that Bob Clark did in 1983. Porky's 2, I found that hilarious and much better than the first film.
Yet to see that one, but that's a good indicator of what kind of comedy makes all laugh, I guess. And since the can of worms with the culture here and comedies from around the world has already been open, but let's dive into, you know, these individual countries that keeps being brought up. So, for the record, that means Turkey, it means Russia, it means India, it means the US. And we can probably start with Turkey because we're already there. We already talked about how it's almost this kind of sacred property for a lot of Turkish people. While, let's say, foreigners watching this film or these films are a bit more perplexed. Put it mildly, at least from my experience, both when I watched it myself and from hearing from you guys. And again, apologies to any Turkish listeners there. Turkish comedies is just probably the one type of comedy here I don't think anyone will defend. So let's get this one out of the way, and we can probably start with you, Adam. And what is your just general experience with Turkish comedies?
I mean, it was a long, long time ago when I watched them. It must be 10, 15 years ago. But like I kind of said earlier, I think the Turkish comedies we watched are similar in style to the American comedies that I don't like, you know. So it is possible there are Turkish comedies out there that are a bit more serious, a bit more like similar to something I would like. I mean, we hated the ones that we saw, and I think they were really low quality, like awful. But yeah, if you got me to watch a bunch of massive American comedies, I probably wouldn't like a lot of them either. So, yeah, blah 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 blah.
Blah 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 blah. Indeed. What about you, Lauren? what's your experience with the Turkish comedies? Did you like any of them at all?
Well, I think I watched all of them with Adam, and I didn't like a single one. I'm looking at my ratings at the moment, and in 2011, I watched about 20 of them, and there's nothing, like, everything's rated 1, 2, or 3. and I think, as Adam said, that they are similar in style to the, like, dumb American comedies, but the production value is so bad. And also, some of them, we had Google translated subtitles, so you don't just have a lost in translation, but you have the Google translation on top, which doesn't help at all. The Turkish dramas I've seen have been okay, but I haven't seen a comedy yet that's been enjoyable.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because there are a lot of great Turkish dramas. Nuri Bilge Ceylan is obviously one of the biggest directors working right now. I love Eamon Alper as well. You had Denise Gamze-Ergüven with Mustang a few years ago, which is just such a big film. And these films kind of hit strong across the world. Even some classic Turkish films like Umut, for instance, is a big international success. But the comedies, even though, like, I'm looking now, I've seen decent amount of Turkish comedies, and like Havans Nifi, the first one, has a 9.2 on IMDb from over 40,000 voters, 41,564 right now. And I have to admit, I rated this film 1 out of 10. I literally remember struggling through it so much. I was almost tearing out my hair. I just really hated every waking minute of it. It is this completely frustrating, overly silly humor. I mean, obviously, it's not that bad that you have 30, 40-year-olds playing teenagers, that it's done elsewhere too. But it was just so grating with the moose, with just everything happening there, the long musical performances. I just cannot stand that film. Some of their sequels felt slightly better, but like you said, Adam, a big part here is that the filmmaking just generally doesn't come off as well as the US ones. I mean, it feels shabbier. Maybe if they got proper Blu-ray restorations, they would like them a bit more. But at least at the time we saw them, like, I don't think they would be that much better. They just felt a bit chubby. Like, I'm from a country that didn't traditionally make a lot of overly great films either. I mean, Norway has a lot of not that good comedies that's held in high esteem and a lot of sloppy filmmaking that are still loved. There's clear overlaps there, but I wouldn't have expected, you know, these kinds of films to have, you know, these insane average ratings and the critical support and system. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, they're mediocre films. I consider mediocre, poorly made or not made overly well, that are held in high esteem in Norway by popular audiences because they're classics, but they don't get this kind of status. And that's what stuns me.
Yeah, but the rating is because, you know, an American film, the rating will come down because people from pretty much every country in the world are watching it, and people with different tastes, and the films are so massive everywhere. Their rating comes down because people who are not the target audience are watching it. When it comes to, like, the Turkish mafia films, how many people other than Turkish films and a bunch of us geeks online have watched the films and actually given them ratings? So I would argue the rating remains high forever for the Turkish films because almost no one other than Turkish people watched them, whereas the American films get watched all over the world by people who are not, like, Lauren and I have probably seen a bunch of American comedies that we're not interested in just because, you know, they're big films all over the world. So obviously something kind of weird has happened with the Turkish films, you know, where they're on like 9.2, which is unusual. But the exact same thing happens with the Indian films as well. If you go on the advanced search now and look for the films with the highest ratings in the last 10 years, you're talking like practically 50% will be Indian. So yeah, I think the rating stays high when people aren't watching it from other countries or people who are not the target audience.
I might just jump in and defend Turkish comedies a little bit. Not that I've seen as many as you guys have. In fact, I've only seen a handful. What I've seen, they haven't been great films as such. I mean, there's one that I've seen, I don't know how to pronounce the title, Nesli Gunla. I know it's a film from 1978. It's sort of like The Parent Trap, but it involves adult siblings rather than kids getting their parents together, and that didn't really work for me. But in terms of the Habam Sanifi films, I actually thought they were all right. I mean, I agree the camera work is quite shoddy in there, lots of jerky camera work, lots of handheld shots and zooms, but the actual comedy in there I generally liked. I mean, I thought their methods of cheating on tests were quite funny. I thought there was a hilarious scene where you've got this teacher's like sort of jumping from one desk to another desk to another desk on top of desk to try and stop the kids from cheating. And we've got this character in there called Cal, who's just absolutely hilarious. And he's even more hilarious in the sequel, where they try and convince him to believe that a new teacher at the school loves him. And then he's actually a quiz question. And he's like, they like ask him who built down Rome. And he's like, oh, I swear I didn't build it down. So yeah, I found a lot to like in those films. I mean, I agree the camera work and the cinematic qualities aren't great, but as comedies, yeah, they're funny. I enjoyed the first two. I haven't seen any of the others, but the first two for me, yeah, they're above average films. They're not great films. They're above average. Actually, I've seen some good Turkish comedies. One that I do want to mention is one called Trouble on Wheels from 2015. I just thought that was a great film or whatever. It was just a really funny road trip film with this middle-aged guy and sort of like picking up other companions along the way. Don't want to say too much about it, but I do think there are some good Turkish comedies out there. And I don't think everything is quite as doom and gloom, at least not as much as the way that Chris has put it.
I mean, I think this just shows a difference in tastes because, like Lauren and I kind of said, I think even if they were American films, we wouldn't like them. But, I mean, I personally hated the comedy in Hababam. Like, hated it because it was just so stupid. Every film would be like, oh, the class get in trouble, and then at the end they apologize, they do some stupid dance, and everyone forgives them, and it's all back to normal again. Oh, yeah, I just think it's terrible, terrible comedy.
I mean, I will say that some of the things in Hababam and those films can be amusing. I mean, the teacher jumping from desk to desk to desk is probably one of the better parts of parts of the film. But like, I mean, I just think like the character portrayals and the facial expressions, etc., it just comes across as so overly silly that even so, I can't, you know, deal with it. It just rubs me the wrong way. And that kind of extremity in that it's, you like, in popular American films, it's usually like, you have to, it's usually not done that, but you have to go to like stuff like, I don't know, Date Movie or something like that to get the same kind of what I would call idiocy. I know I'm offending all of Turkey right now, but but like that's the level you have to go to, and that's coupled with, you know, filmmaking, I think, is fairly subpar. It's just the outcome is not going to be good. But you mentioned one you mentioned earlier that, you know, people who aren't Turkish are most likely not going to see these films. And that's why they have the high ratings they do. But, I mean, it's the same with Norwegian comedies. If you're not Norwegian or Swedish or Danish, you're not going to see big Norwegian comedies. And I went in and looked at, you know, the highest rated Norwegian comedies of all time. I mean, only one is over 8, that's Flåklypa Grand Prix. That maybe that's a film that we are blowing up. It has 13,000 plus votes. That's an enormous classic here. I like it. I don't love it. But that's just, you know, one of those huge, huge films. But it's an animated film and it's, you know, seen everywhere. But like, I went down and I had a look at like, the most popular Norwegian comedy of all time is probably Fjolsir Fjeris from 1957. That's like the one that it was remade recently, but that's the one that's always, when I was young, referenced. That has a 7.3. most of those big classics that are held in high regard in Norway that are shown on TV all the time, etc., they're around 7 or even below 7, and they will usually not show up at the very top of a critic list. So I would be interested to hear your theories about how long the Nifa films are even held up so highly by Turkish critics.
I have to say, film critics from Turkey are not my strongest area of knowledge, so I'll let Professor Donis and Sol come in instead.
I wrote in the chat that the critics were probably bribed, but no, I'd say a lot of it would just be they're sort of like grown up with it, I guess, so it's a bit of nostalgia or whatever, so you're going to look upon it more favourably. I mean, like I said, I don't think they're bad films anyway, but that's just my personal opinion. I don't think they're particularly well-made cinematically, but they're not bad films. They're amusing. And I guess if you've grown up with it, you've got some nostalgia factor, then, you know, sure, you know, a local critic might put it quite high on one of their lists.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Turkish critics, and I had no idea that they liked the films. But I've noticed that with Australian films, not just comedies, if an Australian film is, like, somewhat competent, critics are like, oh, this is like a rebirth of Australian cinema. And so I don't know if there's a touch of that, you know, I don't know, what do you call it, like national love, and they feel proud that their country made something watchable. And I guess most of those, the Habibam movies were all like in the 70s, although I know they're still making them, or the last one was a few years ago. And maybe they just, I don't know, has something to do with 70s and the turkeys. Maybe it makes more sense to people who grew up in that time. But I don't know about anything about the critics. I haven't read any of their reviews, so I don't know.
Yeah, and if you look at the Hababam series, it came back decades later, and the ratings are like 1 or 2 out of 10. So they obviously tried to recapture the old glories. I mean, it looks like the 70s was like the golden period of Turkish cinema, and they tried to recapture it, and it's all hated. So the ratings for those films are like, absolutely.
Yeah, I wonder what was different.
Well, the main actor died as well, and he was the big star of the period. And it's like anything where you bring back something after like 20, 30 years, most of the time people don't like it in general. I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but for the most part, you bring back an old film series with a new cast, most people are going to hate it.
Hey, I guess that's usually the case, yeah, especially with comedies. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of superhero reboots, but that's a little bit different. And with that, I think we might have insulted our dear Turkish listeners too much. So let's move on to insult Russia and the former USSR. though here, I can announce that I will actually be a bit of a defender, as I am actually a bit of a fan of Russian and USSR comedies. So I'll put it over to Adam first, because I know that he absolutely hate the films of, for instance, Leonid Gadai, like Operation Y, Ivan Vasilich, To the Future. Like, I know he hates those films even more than I hate Hababam. So, Adam, why is that?
Okay, again, it's been 10, 15 years since I saw any of the films, but the Soviet comedies that I watched with Lauren are genuinely the worst films I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I actually prefer the Turkish comedies, because the Turkish comedies at least had some kind of like charm to them. The Soviet ones, yeah, I mean, I couldn't even get through the idea of watching even 10 seconds more of one of those Soviet comedies makes me want to cry. So it was the most painful experience ever. Just constant pain. Constant slapstick crap, constant...
Oh, yeah, now we get it, it's the slapstick.
Yeah, but it was like slapstick times a million. It was like everything I hate about a film times 1 million. All of them, awful, awful, awful. In fact, talking about it right now, I need to go for a lie down, because it's kind of like talking about traumatic experience or something, watching Ivan Vasilevich or whatever. I mean, we need to bring Lauren in now, but seriously, genuinely painful experience.
Is there any Russian or USSR comedies that you enjoy at all, Adam?
Lauren has one, actually.
Oh, so none for you. What about you, Lauren? And what's the one Soviet film you like?
I only really watched the ones by that one director, a few of them, which I hated. I haven't seen much else.
Oh, right. So it's only Leonid Gadai that's...
Well, I saw the one that Lauren liked, and it wasn't. I didn't hate it, but anyway, Lauren, say what it was.
Right, all right. I know which film that is, and I quite like that film. So, Lauren, go ahead. Like, what's your experience with Russian and USSR comedies?
Yes, I found them fairly on par with the Turkish ones. Like, they were, the comedy's more painful somehow, but the production value is better. So it's like they're both terrible, but the production values balance out the terrible humor. I don't know. But yeah, I'm just looking at my list now, and most of the ones that we watched back in those days, yeah, there's like the kidnapping, Caucasian style, Operation Y, those ones I hate. But I do love Kinzaza, and I sort of a comedy, I don't know how to pronounce it, but V, the comedy horror, which I liked.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like those two comedies. I haven't seen Kinzaza in 12 years, so I don't know if I still like it. But and it wasn't even for the comedy. I liked the sci-fi elements, and the comedy just made it a little bit more light.
Yeah, so look, I also like Kinzaza. I don't know how to pronounce it. The coup film, everybody just goes cuckoo. I thought that was very... obviously, I thought that was very funny, and... Yeah, with the films of Guy Dye, yeah, I guess it's just that it is slapstick, and I love slapstick. I mean, I guess just I love my silent comedies, and having that sort of like slapstick transposed to the 60s or 70s in the former Soviet Union, yeah, no, I thought the Guy Dye films that I saw varied from good to great. I don't think there were any that I disliked at all. Some of them just got like some crazy things, whatever, just like winding up the tail of his donkey or whatever is going along. It's got this crazy sound effects going along with it. It's just a lot of crazy humor. And then there's this really great one called Beware of Car, or Watch Out for Automobile, which is about this like thief trying to steal the same cars over and over and over again. And it's got some crazy scenes like lifting up an entire garage just to take the car out. You've got this slow chase through a school zone, and I guess I just find a lot of creativity in there. I'd say the Soviet ones are probably more creative than the Turkish ones, and Turkish ones I did find some funny parts in there, but I just with Guy Dye, I just see a lot of things in there. I go, oh, that's quite imaginative, it's quite funny, it's quite spontaneous. Although the best Soviet comedy for me is a silent Soviet comedy, which is the film My Grandmother from 1929 from Soviet Georgia, which is just an absolutely insane visual assault on the senses. It's an anti-bureaucracy satire. It's pretty much prescient of everything that Kubrick would later do in Dr. Strangelove, and I couldn't recommend that one more highly.
Yeah, that's such a good comparison, Sonia. I absolutely love My Grandmother as well. Easily one of my favorite films. And for the record, My Grandmother is slang for something less pleasant. It's comparable to, bull with the S word afterwards. We don't swear on this podcast, but that's essentially what that means. It's not about someone's grandmother.
And just to be clear, I actually love lots of Soviet dramas. So this isn't one of these hating every film from the country, which is kind of funny. A lot of my favorite films, well, not a lot, but a few of my favorite films are Soviet dramas, you know, the war dramas. Just the comedies are horrific.
I mean, if you're talking about, Laura mentioned in the chat that the comedies about bureaucracy is probably her least favorite subgenre, and then she might not want to see Blue Mountains, which is another Georgian comedy from the 80s. Which is also really hilarious, differently from My Grandmother. It's not as visually extreme. It's a bit more awkward humor, almost a bit closer to home with the Norwegian style, you know, the awkward humor you can see from Scandinavia. So that's something I would recommend to anyone that would be interested in that. But then I can easily see why Adam would hate the films of Sveni Kadai, because he is slapstick. And looking at his films, I think one of the things that really appeals to me with them is that they do really take on the silent comedy tropes, almost movements, but just put them into, you know, the color sound setting. And to me, that they work fairly well. But yes, they're silly, they're over the top, but they're also really well done technically, and they're just fast-paced, fun, well done. And I, like Saul, I quite like slapstick. I don't love slapstick like Saul. This is not my favorite type of humor, but it's going to get me laughing, especially when done well. And look, I mean, just to be clear, I don't absolutely love Lenny, and I think his comedies are good. I really like it, Caucasian style, but they're not my favorite Russian or Soviet comedies. Those are usually, they're usually not that slapstick or that silly, but I will be on the plus team for Lenny Kadai, and I'm very happy that at least for this type of comedy, I have some backup in Seoul, even Lauren for Kin Tsao Tsa. Cool, indeed. And moving on to Indian comedies then. Now, that's not something that I've explored that much. I mean, I still haven't seen Three Idiots, for instance. What are your experiences with Indian comedies? Because I know that, like you mentioned earlier, Adam, if you look at the highest-rated films from the last few years, for instance, you will see a lot of Indian comedies and just Indian films in general topping that list. Like, how many of those have you seen?
I don't think I ever hated the Indian ones in the same way as the Turkish or Soviet ones, because I haven't actually seen that many Indian comedies. So even something like Three Idiots, I never actually watched it, because there was a point where I stopped watching films just because they were in the IMDb list. I've seen a lot of good films from India, more likely to be like older films. And then even like the modern dramas, I can watch a lot more easily. I honestly don't think I've seen very many Indian comedies.
Like, what about you, Sol, Lauren? Have you guys seen a lot of Indian comedies? Like, have anyone seen Three Idiots? Because I haven't either.
I have, and it sucked.
Well, I've also seen Three Idiots, and as people probably expect by this point in the podcast, I did like it quite a bit. I wouldn't say all of it was funny. There was like a really lame part with this guy keeps farting and blaming on somebody else, and like I said earlier on, I don't really go for that sort of toilet humor. But in general, there's actually lots of like really clever parts in it, because there's this one guy they're searching for, and it was like this like little inventor, so he would like invent clever things, and he just had like a clever way of doing things. And he has been on the long side, and not all the humor landed for me, but enough of it did that I did quite like it. Although probably as an Indian comedy, what I probably prefer is PK. It's got Amir Khan as this alien coming to Earth and getting confused about religion. And some of it's a bit silly. I mean, his facial expressions throughout are like very over the top, and he's got like these huge fake muscles, but it's actually got some really salient points in there about religion and how confusing it is that like wearing black or wearing white, how it might mean wedding or it might mean a death in different cultures. So, yeah, and I thought it was very entertaining. So I haven't seen a lot of Indian comedies, mainly because they are very long, and I guess I'm always trying to cram a lot of films into a month for monthly challenges, but I would like to explore more Indian comedies.
So I haven't seen that many of them either, in large part just because of their length. I will say that I don't, like the ones I've seen, I don't hate the way I do with the Turkish films. There's only one of those big classics from India that I just really couldn't do, and that was, you know, the huge action epic comedy, Tulai, which I saw way too long ago to remember that much about. But that's the only, and it's better than Hamamas and Ife for me by far, but that's the only one that I just couldn't get into the humor of. But I also haven't really seen any Indian comedies that I really loved, except a couple of Ray films. And my least favorites from Ray are also his comedies. So yeah, I'm not that useful on that subject. So I think you're the only one who can help us out then here, Lauren. Like, what is it about Three Idiots that grates you so much? Like, what is it about that comedy that doesn't work for you?
I don't remember Three Idiots at all, except that it was really bad. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting, though it didn't actually end up being a dislike. But I will say, since Sol mentioned PK, that has got to be one of the worst of all the Indian comedies I've seen. I absolutely hated it. And so, just the lowest rated ones I've got is like Anders Apna Apna and Hera Fairy. I don't remember those either. We watched them a long time ago. And I do remember that the India comedies weren't as bad as the Turkish and Soviet ones and the other Eastern European ones, but they're just so much longer. And, you know, there's the musical interludes and all that sort of stuff that makes them harder to watch in some ways. But yeah, they're mostly just really silly. But I think Sol mentioned earlier about the Turkish comedies? Something having some charm, or someone said that. And they do have, like, there is an element of they're trying to entertain and they're trying to be playful. I just don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that is one of those powerful culture clash too, especially with the music. Though obviously Indian comedies and just Indian musicals in general have a massive following all across the world, regardless of culture. So there is something very much universal with these films as well. And just recently, of course, we had RRR, which is a comedy and which just blew up. I mean, I saw that with a group of friends, and it was a great hangout movie. I didn't love the film, but it's just crazy and funny and self-aware, just over the top, ridiculous in a way that usually doesn't work for me, but there actually worked. So I guess India is coming out this episode without a lot of shots fired, so that should be good news to our Indian listeners.
Yeah, well, I did actually speak to an Indian person recently and specifically asked them about that film, and they said that they hated it, and it's actually generally disliked within, I guess, the Indian people that he speaks to. So I don't know how popular that is specifically in India, but definitely with his, I can't remember where he was from, but yeah, he said there they think it's trash.
All right, interesting. Very interesting. And I think we might actually be nearing the end here, but I noticed that we haven't actually dived into the term mafia at all. That's something that a lot of people have been calling offensive for a while, because just to give a little bit of quick backstory on it, the mafia film is kind of like this slang that started showing up on the ICM forum among people who were really invested in the IMDb Top 50 and the extended IMDb list and IMDb Advanced Search, etc. And we're seeing a lot of films, again, from Turkey, from India, from Russia, that did not appeal to them at all, which seemed to have a bit of a niche following, and started calling certain films mafia film. As a kind of like, oh, this is a film that's popular because of the, you know, citizens of this country. It will most likely not be that exciting to me. Like, how do you guys feel about that term in general?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never heard the term before I registered in the ICM forum. I guess I've got used to what it means. It's always described as being a mafia film, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any context for it outside of the forum.
Yeah, I think it's exclusively used on the forum.
I remember seeing it like when we were watching all those films. There were lots of comments by Monty on the iCheck Movies saying, courtesy of the Turkish mafia, courtesy of the Indian mafia, and because it was funny, but also I think it's kind of like, you know, a cheeky way of describing that type of film. Like, you know what you're getting when you go into a film that's described as a mafia film. They just have that same feel. So I think of it as just like a funny, jokey term. I've seen a few people get uppity about it, but yeah, I think and it's also, yeah, specific to the iCheck Movies and ICM forum, like, community. So it's kind of just, you know, like a little in-joke.
Well, you used to get debates on the comments section on iCheck Movies where Monty would say, courtesy of the Turkish mafia. And then he'd get, there'd be responses basically saying that he's like this American idiot and stuff, which was always kind of ironic considering he's Norwegian. So I think everyone has their own stereotypes of what these people are. But the mafia thing, I think, was kind of aged badly. Like, it was funny years ago. I wouldn't really use it in the same way now. But what is obvious is when, you know, I used to watch films based on IMDb ratings. But it's pretty difficult to do that now, because if you use the advanced search, there's just so many films with like ridiculously high ratings. So I stopped using it because half the films on there with high ratings are films I'm never going to watch. It happens even with some American films. So it's hard to know if there's actually an effort to give these films a higher rating or if they're just less exposure for the films. But whatever it is, makes me have a lot less, sort of put a lot less value in IMDb ratings than I used to. But I don't think calling them mafia films is particularly helpful, and it was something that was...
It's a little bit disrespectful as well to the people who genuinely love these films.
But I think it's a maturity thing. Like 10, 15 years ago, it was just a stupid, funny joke. Now I think it's a bit... I don't really like the term, even though I think it is just a stupid joke. I think the problem is we're not saying there's like an American mafia with... It's quite difficult when you're saying certain countries have a mafia. Because I think there are mafias, you know, for the American films. There's a lot of new American films that come out and get ridiculously high ratings, but it's just a bit of a stupid term now, I think, where you're basically saying these people don't actually like the film. They're just giving it a 10 or whatever. So,
And I think it's also a bit difficult because obviously IMDb doesn't show how many people from a specific country. Like, you can see how many people from Turkey has rated a film. You can see how many people from Russia has rated a film. It's like, I think it's US and international. I think that's the split they have.
There is actually a breakdown now. If you go to the ratings, it says countries that rated this film the most.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I only just saw it then when I was looking at one of the Habibam.
All right. Let me check how Vamsi Nefi wants.
Turkey is number one.
Where's the country breakdown? I can't really see it.
You got to click on like the rating for the film where it says like the gender breakdown and stuff.
Yes, yeah, so I have males, females, US voters, so if I click non-US voters?
When I click on it, it says filter by country, and then it says countries with the most ratings. I don't even see the gender breakdown on mine.
Oh, I probably had the old view.
Yeah, I got the new one.
That's why I never realized this.
I'd never seen it before either.
I just signed in with incognito. Oh yeah, now I see it. Turkey, yes. 28,000 out of 42,000 are from Turkey. But even UK, it's still the majority of 10 out of 10.
Well, I think it's possibly because I think when IMDb made the change to like remove the films from the top 250, I think it was that they were basically limiting films that have been rated from that country. So I think some people have also put their country as America or UK to make the votes seem more legit. But that's just
mafia behavior, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then there's also, of course, a lot of expats across the world. I mean, Turkey is an enormous country. So, I mean, if I look at, for instance, Netherlands, there's 295 votes. I mean, a lot of them could easily be Turkish expats living in Netherlands. Germany is one of the top countries. We all know, of course, that there's a lot of Turkish expats living in Germany. So it does, to an extent, make sense. But maybe we're completely wrong. And there's a lot of Dutch and German and UK people who just absolutely love the Habibam films. But this all begs the question, though, because I skipped this question earlier. It might be the most contentious of all, because we can talk about mafia behavior, but the largest case of, you know, not sure if we can call it corruption, but it's clearly discrimination to an extent where IMDb literally went in and they just removed Habibam Sanifi from the top 250. They literally just went and said, this film, it doesn't matter what its rating is, doesn't matter how many votes it has, it's not going on our list. I mean, that's a really extreme action. Like, how do you see that? Like how do you feel about that? I mean, even if we, you know, a lot of us said we don't love that film, like, what are our feelings about what IMDb did?
I personally couldn't care less. I mean, the IMDb top 250 is a joke of a list. I don't think anybody takes it seriously, or not any longer, with all these new films debuting in there and everything. I just think it doesn't matter. Does not affect me at all. Never try to get a platinum on the list, and I'm never going to. So it doesn't affect me at all.
I don't think that they should be making decisions to just remove a film based on that. But I think, like, since then, they've also implemented, like, they keep changing how many votes a film has to have. They keep their, like, rating, the weighting system, like secret, so they can make all these behind the scenes decisions, and we don't know which films are like getting axed from the list for whatever reason. Because I think they also added like a new top 50 list, which is just like everything as well. I don't know did they have that? I know they made an Indian one. No, it seems like they just got popular and top rated Indian, because the Indian movies were like taking over the list. So they literally just made, here, have your own list to sort of satisfy them.
Wait, did they remove Indian films from the list as well, or?
No, there's still a few in there, but they actually just made, like a separate list, which is just Indian movies. I mean, it's better for me because I like following the lists. But yeah, Sol's right that the top 250 has been like a joke for like a while. I think since like Amazon took over IMDb, probably because that sort of ruined IMDb. I still think I think it's a good starter list, and I think most people still use IMDb. So I would prefer that it reflects something of what people are actually enjoying, and not just the mafia films or whatever. But yeah, I don't think they should just be like removing films because they've decided this film's too Turkish or whatever.
If you look at the list, there's like 97 films from 2000 onwards, which seems absolutely ridiculous to me. And it's a list I would never work on again. And I don't really understand why they removed one film, because I mean, if the list was actually to be done properly by IMDb ratings, it would be very, very different, and half of it would be the Indian films. So they obviously have all these filters in place. They have all these kind of weighted averages or something instead of just the normal ratings. So I think there's a lot of manipulation so that the list has things that are more Western and more kind of, I think there's interest. They have interest on what ends up on that top 250. And having more recent films getting promoted is part of that as well, I'd imagine.
Guys, I guess we're forming a conspiracy now or a conspiracy theory that Amazon is secretly tinkering with the list to be able to promote and sell specific films. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
There are still a few Indian films, actually, way more than when I last checked, that have made it in. So they obviously aren't just removing everything.
Yeah, I can see Three Idiots at 84. I think that's the top Indian film. I don't see Hababam Sanifi anywhere here. So that film is clearly still excluded.
Yeah, not one of the series, considering the ratings they all have.
Like, the rating is 9.2 with over 40,000 votes. I'm checking. So towards the bottom of the top 250, I think at 249, you have Akira Kurosawa's excellent Desu Uzala, which has an 8.2 rating from 32,000 voters. So that's far less voters. That's 10,000 less. And a rating which, like, 8.2 versus 9.2. But Hababam Sanifi is not on the list. That's just insane.
Well, we can start a campaign if you want. Maybe email IMDb about it.
Yes, so let's all band together for this film we absolutely hate. I mean, it would be intellectually rigorous. And I do think the film should be on the list, given the rating it has. I wouldn't be opposed to, weighting based on countries, just to make sure that, it has a degree of international appeal. But just excluding it like that, that just seems utterly ridiculous. And, like, regardless of which country you go to for the ratings for Hababam Sanifi, it actually has a fairly good average rating, regardless of whether or not it's expats or not.
When unusual voting activity is detected, an alternate weighting calculation may be applied in order to preserve the reliability of our system. It's very...
Ooh, so it might actually mean that they, like, just like a lot of people who are commenting on ICM Forum being pissed and angry that, so many Turkish movies were showing up on this list. Remember back then, they weren't just IMDb Top 250, they had lists for best comedies, best films of the 70s, etc. I suppose IMDb had a similar reaction. But they not just thought, okay, this is people absolutely loving it, but a bit like Monty, who would say, like, courtesy of the mafia, like the Turkish mafia. So maybe they actually thought and assumed and believed that these votes are illegitimate. And maybe they have some evidence for that. I mean, that would be interesting. Maybe they didn't just clamp down on it. Maybe they actually caught bots or something. Who knows? Would be interesting to know, but I don't think they'll ever share that information.
I think it opens up a can of worms when you start removing certain films and not other ones, but... Yeah, anyway, I mean, none of us work on the list anymore, so I guess we don't have to worry too much about it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to hear what you have to say about this too, dear listener. I mean, did we offend your favorite comedies? Like, how many of our listeners are actually from Turkey, Russia, or India? I mean, I'm especially interested in what the Turkish people think about what we said about this film. Did I and my co-host here hurt your feelings? I hope not. But again, you were forewarned. Any complaints or arguments or just explanations as to why Hababam Sanifi is as beloved as it is, why Leonid Kadai films are as beloved as it is, etc. You know, please come to the ICM forum. There will be a thread up for this episode and you can argue with us directly there. We would love absolutely nothing more. And with that...
Sorry, Chris, before you press the start button, I guess I can even just be an extra point I want to make, even if nobody else wants to chime in. Just the point that I'd like to make about comedy is that I find with a lot of people, it's not everybody, but a lot of people I come across, they'll assign a very low rating to a comedy because it doesn't make them laugh. And I've already talked about my grandmother, so I won't harp on about that too much. But I found when I was promoting that one, people were saying, you know, I understand it's visually amazing and it looks so great for a film from 1929, but it didn't make me laugh. And I found that with a lot of other films also. I mean, we're not going to get into Jacques Tati too much because I know that Lauren and Adam don't like him too much. But... you know, films of Tati, I've heard people say things like, oh, like, I understand the sets are magnificent and the colors are beautiful, but it didn't make me laugh, so I'm giving a low rating. So, I mean, that's something I've never done. I sometimes rate a film up if it makes me laugh, but I never rate it down if it doesn't make me laugh, because I think there's a lot more to comedy than just making somebody laugh.
Yeah, I agree with Sol. It depends on the type of comedy, but in general, there's comedies I like a lot where I'm not laughing out loud throughout them. And sometimes the humor is a different style, so you don't have to be sort of like bursting out laughing every 5 minutes. I think there's certain films, certain types of comedy that people are more likely to downrate because they didn't laugh. It's hard to define that.
I don't really watch, well, I mean, I don't judge films based on their genre. So if something's a comedy, it doesn't really matter if it makes me laugh or not. If it does make me laugh, like I like films that make me react. So if a film makes me laugh, I'm probably going to like it more. But it doesn't mean I'm going to like or dislike a film that is a comedy, more or less, if it makes me laugh or not, whatever that means. Like, sometimes I'll say this film didn't make me laugh at all, and what I really mean is that, like, it caused me pain, and yeah, I, like, hated it. And that's just a nice way of saying that, to say it didn't make me laugh. Another point is that, like, to me, a bad comedy is, like, the worst type of film. Like, that's my most hated type of film. Out of my bottom 100 films, more than half of them are comedies. And even on the IMDb bottom 100, most of them are comedies. And only two of them, I think, were Turkish. The rest were American comedies. But I find if a comedy is just, like, really bad, it, like I actually feel physical pain. Like, I feel like I'm going to be sick. Like, my stomach hurts if it's bad comedy. I don't get that with any other type of film. I guess a comedy can have very... negative visceral reaction if it's bad, but not necessarily if it doesn't make me laugh.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I think it's not comedies that bad comedies that hurt me the most. It's usually bad horror, for instance, that really, really frustrates me. But no, I mean, I don't rate comedies based on how much they make me laugh, and I don't rate horror based on how much they scare me. There's a lot of other factors that go into these films for me. Like you said, there's a visual soul. Like if a comedy just like amuses me, makes me smile, and it looks stunning and it's entertaining, that's more than enough. I mean, I care far more about how much a film makes me react and engaged than how much I laugh. Though, of course, if the film is dependent on making me laugh, so it doesn't have, you know, other redeeming features or, you know, the comedy, like there's dramedies. There's awkward comedies. There's a lot of comedies, like satires, for instance, where you're not really meant to be laughing non-stop, including dark existential comedies where you might not be meant to laugh at all. You're just meant to, you know, feel this kind of biting dread. But there's also comedies that are meant to be laugh riots. And if I feel that the joke falls flat, that's obviously going to count against it. It's a bit like a sci-fi movie where the writing is fantastic, but the special effects are utterly horrendous. Like if it depends on the special effects. something really integral to the film is broken if it doesn't work. So it really depends from film to film. Oh, and Saul just wrote that he had this vision of me laughing nonstop through Roy Anderson. I actually do laugh nonstop through a lot of Roy Anderson films. That it's a very specific kind of Scandinavian humor that might not be as universal, but yeah, Scandinavian humor is very dark, very awkward. And like, for instance, if you look at the one which pigeon sat on the branch contemplating existence, you have those running gag where someone who's really depressed answers the phone and says, you know, I'm so glad to hear you're doing fine. Like, that had me rolling on the floor, for instance. So there's definitely some cultural differences there too. And with that, I'm not sure if you can call it confession. I'm sure other Scandinavians laugh at Roy Anderson too, but that's another thing. You can, you know, hit us up on ICM forum on if you disagree with me or just want to know, like, what is it about these films that make Scandinavians laugh. So with that, once again, thank you so much for listening, and join us again soon.
You have been listening to Talking Images, the official podcast of ICMForum.com.